Smash Factor.
Ripping driver, going for it. Oh my goodness.
How about that tee shot?
That is crazy how far that is.
Wow. John Daly, take a back seat, big fella. How about that drive?
That's an aggressive line.
Look at this, he's just driven the green. He has just driven the green.
I guess, hello world, huh?
Welcome to the Smash Factor for this week's U.S. Open, the third major of the PGA season. And probably, well, without a doubt, will be the toughest one that they see this year or any time. Oakmont is definitely a challenge. I'm sure you've heard that 6,000 times by now. But I'm looking forward to it. I like the U.S. Open. I don't know exactly where I'd rank it of the four. It's close. I still think the Masters is probably number one for me. And then the Open and U.S. Open are a 2A, 2B. I like things about both of them. If the Open's appeal definitely has some because of the timing of it overnight, kind of a different setup in general, field wise and stuff like that, I think I enjoyed the U.S. Open. Meaning, if the Open was kind of just, same time, same channel as normal, maybe the U.S. Open a little bit. But I love both of them. PGA lately, I've enjoyed. So I mean, they're all close. But the test, I think, of the U.S. Open and some of the courses, that's what maybe attracts me more, because I think, at least lately, the Open hasn't been extremely difficult. Now, we know the weather can predict that, and maybe we see a tough one this year. But the nice thing, especially about Oakmont, and as some of the guys have said, is it doesn't matter what the weather is. It's going to be tough. It's just a matter of how tough is it going to be, and that I like a lot, especially as, my young man getting into it. He has a tournament later on this afternoon and again tomorrow. This is an early Wednesday morning. I'll have this out around lunchtime, but I'm interested to see him watch, a tough extreme challenge, and then just kind of talk with him about how you navigate the course, how you, when you're shooting for par as a great score versus, throwing darts all day long, is a unique setup and different. So I'm looking forward to it. Last week was a good week. Hit Fox 60-1, was tempted to hedge a few times with the Burns. I just didn't. I don't know. I had a gut feeling. It didn't look good, especially when Burns put it in there to 5 feet. I was like, boy, should have hedged that one. And then when he missed it, I was like, all right, just let it roll. Once he missed that, I kind of felt it was going to be Fox to lose. But it was a sweat. It was a close one. Core was solid overall. Good week overall. Good week to roll into this. Great bounce back year, as I've said. I think last year I hit like 8 total first round leader or tournament readers the entire season. I think I've hit 12 already. We still got plenty of season to go. So let's hopefully we can find one this week. I think it'll be a good challenge. And then what we do with Scotty will be a big part of it. If you'd like to join for this week, free 7-day trials included. Use the code US Open. They get you 30% off any package, weekly, monthly, annual, whatever you want. You can get content only, which includes Slack, or the full site, which has all the tools, the model builders, the green machine, the football tools as well. We're getting close to that. It's all one price for all the sports, so you can go check that out. I think content only, you can get as cheap as like $7 a month with that code. Full site for like $15 a month with that code, or a little cheaper. So U.S. Open, 7-day risk-free trial plus 30% off. We are at Oakmont Country Club, 7,372 par 70, 4 par 3s, 2 par 5s, 12 par 4s. A lot's been talked about, the length in the par 5s and the par 3s, which really kind of makes it not quite as long as what it appears, because a lot of the length is in those 6 holes. The par 3s play extremely long. Everybody will talk about, the close to 300-yard one, but the others are long as well. And I don't know that many are going to get to these par 5s and 2. Very few will as well. So, which, again, makes it, that's one reason we think we may see, a over-par score win this, depending on how fast and firm we get by time tomorrow gets here. And then do they get any more weather during the tournament, I think will be the bigger deal for me is that I think it's going to be playing how they want it for the most part tomorrow. The question will be what happens Friday afternoon, evening into Saturday, with potential rain and does that soften it up a bit? And that'll kind of tell us what kind of score we get. Poa greens, I treat them more like bent. They're going to be fast, firm. No matter how much rain they get, they can make these greens extremely firm. I spent a lot of time yesterday when I was driving around for the real job listening to the press conferences of the players. And that was one thing that many of them said was even when some of the fairway seemed a little soft, the greens maintained, you know, their firmness. So they're going to be firm, fast. It's a bent Poa fairway. Rough, we've heard, you know, it's going to be 4.5+ inches. I think they're going to mow it one more time before the tournament, maybe today, and then maybe one time during the tournament, depending on how the weather goes, and that's it. Keep it around that 5-inch mark. Like I said, long par threes, long, hard, tough. Greens will be fast. Weather, it warmed up a bit today. It's going to warm up a bit today, into the 80s. It was a little bit cooler yesterday. Winds aren't crazy today. It's going to be, you know, low 80s. It's like, it's 56, 57 right now, but this is super early in the morning. It's still dark out there. But it quickly, by 9 a.m., it's going to be 70 and then 81 for the high. Tomorrow, very similar, even lower winds, and a little warmer, up to 86 tomorrow. So hotter, less winds, perfect conditions. I think the course plays, you know, fast and firm. And then it gets down to Friday. There's a system that is flirting with coming in Friday afternoon. The winds are low all day again, you know, 5 to 10 miles an hour. It's going to be hot, up to 86. And then it really depends on that system and when it comes in and how that messes with not only the field, but the course, and how much rain they actually get. Obviously, you know, right now you could lean a PM AM, but you don't know what's going to happen with that system when it comes in. Does it have electricity? Does it kick them off? Saturday looks to have chances of rain virtually all day long, off and on. Not a ton of it, but there is some. So I really think as we get into later on tonight, we're locking in stuff to kind of look at that. Depending on how much rain they get Saturday and then even potentially Sunday, I think we see closer to the DJ score, which was -4, win it versus, you know, when Angel Cabrera won it at +5. But I do think Thursday and most of Friday is going to play tough. And we see I think you can see a +7, +8 cut number with it playing a little easier. So I kind of think it may be in the middle of Cabrera and DJ's score where it's right around even. Maybe a guy or two catches fire and gets it to -2, -3, something like that. But, you know, I think by far the majority of the field is going to be over par. I think, like, even DJ's year, I think, like, +14 was in the top 20. So, I mean, it's going to be a bogey party for sure. The question will be just how tough is it? You know, it does this rain come in? For me, I'm not going to factor any wave advantage or anything. That the system's so fluid right now that there's not a big, huge advantage. And if it comes in and they get pulled off, you know, maybe they wind up with softer conditions when they go back out. You never know. It's tough enough that I'm not going to factor weather. I'm going to try to find the guys I think they can grind this out and make a cut. I think 6-6 is going to be extremely low this week, not only because it's top 60 in ties, but you're inevitably just going to have chalk miss. It's going to be crucial because finishing positions points are going to be massive this week. I mean, regardless where we think the final score is going to be, it's not going to be a birdie fest by any means. And those 30 points for first place, you know, 20, all those points are going to matter so much more this week because they're going to be a bigger piece of the total pie of the team score. It's just going to be massive. So having guys on the weekend, but to say that, it's not going to be the end all be all. If you have a 4 or a 5 or 6, let's say, but all five of your guys are in the top 15, top 20, and you got the winner, you could go out there and probably win it. If you remember, you know, Southern Hills, what JT wanted, I think, at -5, -6, but, you know, most guys were over par. You know, I had a 5 or 6 that was winning the Millie for a long time, until Mito blew up on 18, and Willie didn't beat JT. JT's the only guy I didn't have. I had a 5 or 6, and I had those five, all five were in like the top 12. It was like Rory, Cam Young, Willie Z, Mito, and I think Fitzpatrick. And so all of them were right there. And I, you know, I was flirting up and down, winning it. I wanted to finish, I think, 6th or 7th, you know, that year. Actually, one of our subs won it. So lots can happen this week, and the finishing positions are going to mean a lot. You really are trying to nail who can grind this out, who can make the cut, and give you life on the weekend, for sure. Like I said, I think the cut's going to be +7, +8. I've been back and forth on the winning score. I think somewhere between -1 and +1 is where I think it lands, depending on what happens with that weather. Because I do think it's going to be extremely tough the first 36 holes for the most part. And so I don't think there's many under par going into round three, to be honest. Maybe they get a little bit of break with the weather on Saturday and Sunday, and we can get some low scores out there. But overall, I think it's going to be in between the DJ -4 year and the Cabrera +5 year. Ernie Els back in 94, that's a totally different, you know, time frame, but he shot 5 under as well. Some past U.S. Open winners, not that the courses are the same, but Bryson last year, obviously, Wyndham Clark, Fitzpatrick, Rahm, Bryson again, 2020, Woodland, Brooks, DJ, Spieth, Rose, Simpson, you know, and all those, but, you know, Woodland was 13 under, Brooks was 16 under, and then everything else is single digit, you know, so tough. Webb was over par. Brooks over par, barely +1 when he at Shinnecock. So some grinders, you can kind of tell that. There's some names in there I do like. It's not the end all be all because it's a totally different course. But, and even the guys from 2016 that did well, so much has changed in the game and the equipment and all that that, you know, it's not the end all be all for me there as well. Stats I'm looking at this week, I mean, some of it's just overall, you know, strokes gained, gut, you know, who can gut it out, grind it. The real stats I did look at, good drives, stroke gain irons, bogey avoidance, good approach, par 4 DK scoring, overall tee to green, scrambling, and then putting. Emphasis, you know, scrambling is going to be huge this week. It's hard to look at those stats, and I wouldn't take them, you know, as the Bible, especially some of the scrambling stuff, because scrambling around, you know, TPC Craig Ranch versus scrambling around here, completely different. So I would be cognizant of what courses you're comping it to when you're doing your course fit or whatever. You know, if you're using our tool, you can go in there and select the exact courses you want to pull data from. You know, I pulled, I think, 8 to 10 different ones that I felt was somewhat similar to here. Nothing's going to be exactly, but at the best we could get. But just be cognizant of that. If you just run a raw data pool, you're pulling in all courses. I don't know if that's going to give you the best example of who could do the best around here. Salary ranges this week, a little bit different. They shook it up, not only putting Scotty 14-4, a clear 2,000 above Rory, but they have 5 in the 10K, 4 in the 9K, 5 in the 8K, 15 in the 7K, 48 in the 6K, 72 in the 5K. So haven't seen them where they've had only 5 in the 8K. You know, the 5-4-5 is a little bit of a unique setup for them. I hadn't seen DraftKings do that yet. We'll see how it shakes out. Obviously, putting Scotty way up there is going to be interesting. Is it finally high enough where people go, I'm out, I'll take my chances for $34 less on a Bryson, or 32, well, shoot, almost 4,000 less. It is 4,000, yeah, 4,200 less for Rahm. It makes sense, but I'm almost certain you're going to have to, especially in certain contests, you're going to have the winner. Because those 30 points for first place are going to mean so much more this week. I mean, could you theoretically have, there is a world where, say, Scotty wins and Rahm second, Bryson's third, Xander's fourth. You know, that kind of scenario happens. Well, then you may have it because of the points they're getting in the salary you saved and who else you could fit in. Where you can fit in, you could start a Bryson Rahm lineup or a Rahm Xander, or you know, you probably could start Rahm Xander Cantley. You know, you can't get those three in with a Scheffler. So it really depends on who else up there high finishes, you know, strong if Scheffler wins it. You know, at his price, he almost has to win it to pay off, because we're not going to see a lot of birdie streaks. We're not going to see a lot of four rounds under 70. I would say we see none. I don't think anybody shoots a 69 or better all 4 days. So all those bonus points and streaks and stuff just aren't going to be there. So 30 points is going to be a massive percentage of the total points for a given player, and it's just going to be huge. Now, predicting who's going to win it and be up there is easier said than done, but it's definitely a different mindset than, okay, let me get a guy like called a Cam Davis that can finish sometimes 30th but be top 10 in DK scoring. I don't think you see that this week. I think you're legitimately going to have the guys that are up there, you know, flirting in that top 15, top 20, and have the winner more likely than not. Same format for me, Sweet 16 and above. I'll give you three that I like and a bubble boy. Fade of the week, sleeper of the week. A little bit deeper on the gut feel plays, give you some more options that I do like. Betting top five, the pop, and two long shots provided by Underdog. Link is in the description. Dollar for dollar match with the code GUP. And my preliminary one and done. I'll have the final ones out tonight, and then we'll wrap it up. Sweet 16, 9K and above. Start with Scheffler. I'm going to play him. Does he make a single entry for me? I don't know. That'll be the decision point. I honestly think as even today goes by, I think you'll see, I don't know if it'll, people actually put it out there. I still think everybody sees how high he typically is owned. As people start building and putting things together, I do think Rahm and Bryson will creep up in ownership and Scotty will come down some. Now with the, you know, what was it? 120-ish. Yeah, 120 guys at 6K and below. You have plenty of options to fit Scotty. So I still think he maintains ownership, but when you're no longer talking about a $400, $600 drop from Scheffler to Rory, or, you know, you're talking about a $3,000-plus savings to Bryson, almost or over $4,000 savings to Rahm, who theoretically, especially in a course like this, that, you know, anything can happen, it's going to be tough. You know, those guys have maybe not as good of a chance as Scheffler, but right there with them. And so I think more people will want to have as many warm and comfy names, if that makes sense, in their lineups as they can. Doesn't mean they can't make it with Scheffler. I just think his ownership will be lower than what most think, and there'll be a closer gap to a Bryson and a Rahm, and we'll talk about Rory here in a minute, but, you know, some of those names. And I think it happens as people start building more likely than not versus just anecdotally. But I do like him. There's nothing not to like about him. I think he'll, you know, hit more fairways than most, hit more greens than most, stay out of trouble than most, and, you know, it's just the price. Does it fit, and can you make good lineups with him that you feel good about? Rahm is my next one. I do like him. Not a guy I normally play. I loved his press conference. I like his mentality. I think he's in a good state of mind. Great history at the U.S. Open. 10th, 12th, 1st, 23rd, 3rd. 8th at the PGA Championship. So finally kind of showed life. Came back to the Rahm we know. Been playing solid over on Live. I'm not really care about the top 10s and all that. That's irrelevant to me. But just those stuff I've watched and seen, you know, you can see he's playing better. If he can drive the ball well, I think he'll be there, right there with the chance to win come Sunday. And the price is great. Xander, another one. Can he get the driver going? I'm interested to kind of hear some more today around him. I do think he's going to be a lot lower owned. He's just not coming in with the splash that he typically would. But, man, it's hard to deny the U.S. Open streak. I mean, just the way he's played. Third, fifth, seventh, 14th, 10th, 7th. So last 6 years, his worst finish is a 14th. 25th at Memorial, 28th at PJ Championship. I mean, so he's still working on things. You're going to get a lower ownership than I think he should be. I don't mind him this week. I don't mind going there. My bubble boy is Bryson. I do think he's either the highest or right below Scotty. And so if I like Scotty, it'll be a how much Bryson do I get? You know, do I truly think his game can fit around here? I do. I have some concerns with him. I like Rahm just a little bit better. Obviously, that's why I have him not the bubble boy, but, you know, he's $800 cheaper. I'm going to get a Xander probably half the ownership than Bryson. And so it's really just the ownership, price, and everything combined. It's nothing against him. He rates out, you know, and I haven't finalized my last rankings, but he's inside the top four for me right now. And so he rates out perfectly fine. It's just a ownership deal. And the good thing is, and the reason why I have him as a bubble boy and not just a fade is I hadn't tried it yet, but let's see, 25. So you have 24,600 for four spots. So technically you could build a Scotty Bryson lineup. Your average remaining is 6,150. So you'd have to find a couple, at least one 5K guy you like, and then maybe sprinkle the rest sixes. But it's doable. I don't know how many people will go that route. You, I don't know if you could get a 7K and a 5. You probably get a low 5K, 7K, two 6Ks with it, but it's doable. So, but I don't know how many people will do that. I don't think many will. So maybe that's a route you go in a 3 max or something like that. You start those two and try to find the four guys that you feel best about in the 5 and 6K range. Maybe you can sneak in a, you know, $5,300 guy plus a 7K and then two 6Ks. But I don't mind him. He's only on the bubble for me is I want to see how the steam and the ownership goes throughout the day. Excuse me, sorry. Still getting the early coffee in. AK range, and I kind of mix some of the 9K because, like I said, the first time we've ever had an AK range with only five guys, so it's kind of a hybrid of the rest of the 9K and 8K. But Neiman probably will be popular. 8,600 feels like a good price. He obviously just won another tournament on LIV, showed some life at the PGA. What do you want to finish in eighth? He tied with Rahm. I love the price. I love his game. You know, kind of like he did at RIV. You know, when he's on, I think he can hit the ball. You know, hit as many fairways as anybody. The price is really what I like because I don't need him to win there. But he can, you know, if we can get him back flirting with that top 10, you know, I don't mind that at all. We'll watch the ownership. You know, I don't want a chalky build where you start Scheffler, Neiman, then whoever. But definitely, to me, a little bit underpriced for the potential there. And I'll have plenty of them. Cantley, 9-3. Love-hate relationship with him. Missed the cut at PGA Championship. 12th at Memorial. He's another one that has solid U.S. Open history. 21st, 43rd, and then 15th, 14th, 14th, 3rd. 9,300, good price. I think he's under 15% as well. A guy that I think can grind out a score. I like him better in a, hey, you got to go shoot even every day and you're going to be in it. I think that does better for Cantley than having to, you know, you got to get to 16 under to be in this tournament this week. Not that he can't do that. I just like, you know, his mentality and the way he plays. I think he'll be a little bit under the radar, not completely, but at that price, someone that I definitely like. Oberg, 9,600, showing some life again. A 13th last week, a 16th at Memorial, a 12th last year at Pinehurst. You know, as far as off the tee, I think he's one of the best out there overall. He's fourth in good drives. This is more of a, you know, can he put it all together? But another guy that I like, hey, go shoot me even one under every day and you're going to be in contention or winning this thing. I think suits him a little better because he does struggle sometimes in the short game and putting, but it's not that he's, you know, busting out a triple. It's most time he's parring when others are birdieing and he gets behind the eight ball. Finished strong at Memorial and rolled that right into a good week at RBC Canadian Open. I'll go there. I think he could be as low as 10% owned this week as well at that price, just because I think so much love is going to go to the Scheffler, Rahm, Xanders, Brysons of the world, that it makes it, I think people will drop down a little bit to cheaper with him being 9,600, that he could get squeezed a little bit. My bubble boy is JT, 9K. That's the perfect example. I see a lot more people willing to go to JT than him in my mind. doesn't have the best for these elite guys per se. You know, miscut, 8th, 19th, 37th, miscut. At the last six U.S. Opens, he missed the cut of the PGA Championship, which was a killer to me. 31st at Memorial. The 9K is intriguing. He's a bubble boy because I don't like his history at the U.S. Opens. It's not as strong as some of the others. And he can get off the tee a little bit, can get squirrely and get in trouble. And he is one that has started bad at majors at times. He started bad at the PGA Championship. He fought back and then blew it all away, you know, on the last five holes of round two to miss the cut by one. So the price, and if he does come in low ownership, is intriguing, but he's a bubble boy because of some of the past history at the Opens and just overall, I can see his game getting in trouble here. He can go out there and win it for sure, as he won, you know, Southern Hills in tough conditions. So that's a reason why I've kept him, you know, in the pool. As a potential play, but right now he's just on the outside as a bubble boy for me. Let me recap both these ranges for you. 9K and above, kind of a hybrid on, and 8K, but Scheffler 14-4, Rahm 10-2, Xander 10-4, bubble boy was Bryson at 11K. This 8-9K hybrid range, Neiman 8-6, Cantley 9-3, Oberg 9-6, and then JT is 9-flat as a bubble boy. 7K range, I'll go to Lowry. I kind of have a comma pause there on let's watch the ownership. Obviously, he was leading the last time this was at Oakmont and shot a 6 over on Sunday to lose it. I believe that's right. Yeah, I think he was 7 under going into Sunday and he finished minus 1. 7,800 feels like a great price. He's coming in pretty good form. Did miss the cut of the PGA Championship, but the 23rd at Memorial, 13th at RBC. I mean, I can look. His open history is anything that's, you know, great either. 28th, 43rd, 65th, missed cut, 20th, 19th, the last six. But when I think of that grit, gut, grind it out, obviously like he did at Oakmont in 2016, he's a guy that fits that bill, and he's cheap. You know, 7,800 in this field feels cheap. But he could be the highest owned in the 7K range and by a decent amount. So while I like him and I'll have him, he may be a guy that I push out of like a 3 max and I only play him in MME or something like that. You know, we'll have to get to the final thoughts and rankings and stuff tonight. But for now, he is a guy I like in the 7K range. Keegan, 7,400. Completely fits that tough, grinded out, grit type guy. 7th at Memorial, 8th at PGA Championship. Mixed results at the U.S. Opens, 3 missed cuts and then a 7th and a 32nd. Love the form coming in, love the overall game. He's 14th in good drive, 6th in irons, 17th in good approach, 6th in tee to green, 24th in DK par 4 scoring. He can get a little squirrely with the putter, so I do like, you know, bump him even more where it's go make par and you're fine. $7,400, and I don't think he gets a ton of ownership. 10, 12, 13% range. Like him a lot this week. Burns, not a guy I normally go to, but he does fit that grind out mentality for me. 19th at PGA Championship, 12th at Memorial, 2nd last week, lost in the playoff, like we mentioned earlier. So form's gotten better and better and better. 9th last year at Pinehurst. Only missed one cut in his 4 U.S. Opens, which was Torrey 4 years ago. Number 1 in the field in that bent kind of combo putting metrics. 11th DK par 4 scoring, 35th in good drives. It's overall solid at 7,100. And if he stays in that, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12% range, I like him a lot this week at a low owned price. Bubble boy for me is Griffin. He just stays, you know, he's been on fire. A little worried that the length may be a somewhat of an issue for him at times. But he's playing so well. Eighth, first, and second, you know, those last three tournaments at, you know, obviously PGA Championship, Memorial, those are tough. You know, if you can finish second at Memorial, you can hang here. He's 55th in good drives overall. And I think it's just, can he be, keep his length and stay accurate? I could see him getting in trouble in the weeds or the rough at times, but at $7,200, probably in that same 10 to 12% range, he's just playing so good, and he definitely has that fight in him. I mean, he's been fighting for a while since he's come back, and he's playing as good as anybody. I'll have some Griffin. I just, there's enough red flags that he was the bubble boy, but I do like him. So Lowry, 7,800. Keegan, 7,400. Burns, 7,100. And Griffin, it's a bubble boy at 7,200. The 5, 6K range. I'll go to Olson, 6K flat. He's playing okay. 33rd at PGA Championship, 46th at Colonial, 36th last week. Stats look solid. I know they're a little bit limited at times, but 23rd in good drives, 19th in bogey avoidance, 27th in good approach, 38th in putting. Just solid across the board. For 6K, you know, there's some, you know, red flags there, but, you know, he's going to be 5, 6, 7% owned. Nothing crazy. And 6K flat makes a lot happen that I definitely don't mind him. Harris English, 6,700. Of the pods I've listened to, which has not been much yet, I'm more focused on the press conferences and stuff like that. I'll listen to some pods today when I'm driving around and working and stuff. But I have heard his name come up a decent amount of times. So keep an eye on that. He could be the most popular 6K range guy, but we know he can, you know, he's got the bulldog in him as well. Six straight made cuts. Yo-yo finishes, but, you know, he's had three top eights, and he's had a 58th, a 61st, and a 41st. So he's made all six of the last U.S. Opens. Second at PGA Championship, 12th at Memorial, 53rd at Colonial. Again, a guy, when I'm looking at need to shoot par every day and grind out a score, he fits that. But I do think he'll get ownership with it. It doesn't mean we have to fade all the chalk here. It's just be cognizant of how you're building with it. You know, I'm not probably starting – you know, a Bryson, Neiman, Lowry, English lineup will be super chalky. But you can have all those in your pool. Just, you know, kind of be aware of how you're building with it. Cam Young, you know, been a while since I've said his name. Continues to show life, continues to get better. We know he's going to be solid off the tee. Can he put everything together? He has been there in some of the tough competitions, especially like Southern Hills is one I think of. You know, he was right there inside the top five. He's looked good. You know, he had a chance to win it, or at least tie coming down the stretch Sunday. Wind up finishing fourth. But of the last year, this is probably the best he's looked. At 6,500, I don't think he sees more than 5% ownership. You know, I'm biased to him in general, but if I see life – and I need a guy that can grind out and off the tee is extremely important, I like Cam Young this week. I'll have some of him for sure. Bubble boy for me is Pendrith. Only because of ownership. I think he will get steamed up. He's been playing well. He was popular last week. He didn't pay off per se, but still played well. 27th, a 12th at Memorial, a 5th at PGA Championship. Obviously, tough tracks there. He's made two cuts, missed two cuts in his four U.S. Opens. When he's made the cut, wing foot, which we know that was tough, he finished 23rd. Last year, he finished 16th, then missed two in the middle. Fifth in good drive, sixth in good approach, 31st tee to green. Average putting, nothing crazy, but certainly don't mind going to him. I don't think anybody in the 5-6 range is going to get super high on. There's so many of them. What I say, 120, you know, 5-6%. Just figure out which ones you want to get to. I don't mind them at all. I just, I had to have a bubble boy there. I could play all four of these guys and probably will, especially in MME stuff. The overall profile, the putting would be the little bit of a concern, but again, you got to get to even par every day. It's not, you know, you're trying to two putt and get there for par versus sinking a bunch of birdie putts. It's a totally different mentality. So don't mind Pendrith at 6,500. So 6K range, Olsen, 6K flat, English, 6,700, Cam Young, 6,500, and then Bubble Boys, Pendrith, 6,500. Fade of the week for me is Rory. There will probably be a moment or a time where it flips a little bit where people go, he's going to be so low owned because people are kind of off of him. The press conference wasn't inspiring. Where's he at mentally? Where's the mentality? If you don't have that grit and grind, you're not going to fake it around here. I think he missed the cut in 2016. I think he shot 8 over. But at 12-4, you know, he's going to have to be up there, top three, top four, you know, maybe win it to pay off. I just don't like where he's at overall. I know the ownership's going to be lower than what it should be, and there'll be some that take a stab at it. But for me, I'll pass on him this week. I don't see him grinding out 72 holes with where his state of mind is right now. Sleeper of the week for me is Mackenzie Hughes. I don't have him being owned hardly at all, 2%. Okay, U.S. history, missed cut, 15th, 24th, 49th, missed cut. So two missed cuts, made the cut 3 times. You know, 24 and 15th, we take those all day long at 6,200 bucks, sorry. 10th in good drives, 30th in irons, 18th in bogey avoidance. He is a guy that the putter can help him out, but his tee to green game's gotten a lot better as well. 27th last week, 39th at Memorial. Not a guy I would profile off the top, but, you know, we had guys like Jim Furyk, Zach Johnson, and those that finished up here back in 2016 that, you know, he can do it. And low own kind of sticks out to me as a good low own play at 6,200 bucks. I don't mind him at all this week for a, you know, sleeper flyer type play. Some gut feel plays for me. Siwoo, 6,900. You know, we know he can get hot mental sometimes, but he's gotten a lot better with that. I mean, a little bit worried about it, but 6,900 bucks, I don't mind it. You know, he can get hot off the tee and put the overall game together. Hasn't done much at a U.S. Open. 3 made cuts, 3 missed cuts in the last 6. Nothing better than a 32nd. I do like his game coming in. 8th at PGA, 31st at Memorial. He's got some upside. Obviously, he didn't make the core up there, but he is someone that I'll take a look at. Berger, 6,800. I like that price. I think he can be solid off the tee, be in play. He's made 4 of the last 5 U.S. Open cuts. 7th, 21st, 34th, 49th, and then the 1 missed cut. Missed cut at Memorial and Colonial. He did finish 33rd at PGA, so a little bit of iffy form coming in, but I don't mind the price, and he'll probably be nothing. I mean, probably in that same kind of like Pendrith, 6-7% owned. I like Pendrith a little more. Gerard, you know, guy I've been playing a lot of. I think he's kind of a grinder. I don't mind him this week. Henley, another guy I don't play a lot of, but you're talking about Nino Parr grinding. He can certainly do that. Made 3 of the last 4 U.S. Open cuts, a 13th, a 14th, and a 7th. So, you know, 3 top 14 is pretty solid at the U.S. Open. 1 missed cut was at the Country Club, but 5th at Memorial, that also shows, you know, it was tough there, tough rough. We know he's not the longest, but he can get it done other ways. And so, not a guy I normally get to, but for 7,400 bucks, he'd probably be decently owned in that 7K range. Not as much as like a Lowry, but he'll be up there, but I don't mind him. Corey Connors, solid off the tee, 7,300 bucks. I can go there. Got her up, great off the tee. Can he put the whole game together for 72 holes? We'll see. But 5,400 bucks, he makes a lot of things help, especially in a Scotty lineup, and make the cut and give me some upside. I think he has that. Now, he can miss the cut easily, but he is a grinder. And so I can, you know, if you give me a +7, +8 type cut number, I see him grinding and fighting to get inside that cut and play on the weekend. Fleetwood, another guy I don't typically go to or like, but 8,800 bucks. I assume he'll be the highest owned in the 8K range because he's just so consistent. Top 10, top 20 type deal. I don't think he wins it, but he's probably there on Sunday. Typical Fleetwood fashion, probably, you know, probably 34th going into Sunday, and he finishes 10th or something. Like, he seems to always do that. Spawn having a great year. I don't mind going there. Batia, Finau. Can Finau kind of resurrect his season? Hadn't had the best of years, but 19th at PGA, 31st at Memorial. Made three cuts, missed three cuts in the last six opens, U.S. Opens, but an eighth at Wingfoot, a third last year, a 32nd at LACC, 19th at PGA, and 31st at Memorial. For $7,300, that's some good upside. And then Davis Thompson, a guy I typically am over the weight on, but $6,500, he's going to be 2 or 3% owned. He has the blow-up potential. You know, probably doesn't make like a 3-max pool, but definitely if I'm doing MME stuff, he's a guy that strong off the tee, he can get hot. He much more risk-reward with him, but I don't mind him either. Betting top five of the pop and two long shots, again, provided by Underdog. Links in the description. Dollar-for-dollar match in your deposit with the code GUP. I mean, I'm not going to Scheffler at 2.5 to 1, 3 to 1, wherever he winds up laying, but I may do some round robins or something like that to try to get some action to him, but or hit up a different market. But you could always go to without Scotty markets and look for numbers. These are with Scotty in there because I just think it's such a hard test that, you know, while I do think he probably has, well, he has the best odds to win for sure, but I do think he's the one to take down. I don't think I need to reach in that market this time, not like PGA Championship. Neiman 25 to 1, Cantley 40, English 80, Xander and Oberg both 22 to 1, 25 to 1 in some spots. So look at those today as things move and shake around. Those are guys I like. You know, if you're scared of Scotty, you can go look at without Scotty markets. I certainly wouldn't mind that at all. You can still get all those guys at probably decent numbers if you truly think Scotty's to lose and you don't want to mess with that. That's certainly viable. Two long shots I like right now. Cam Young, 100 to 120 to 1, depending on where you get it. And then Pendrith, 125 to 1. My preliminary one and done right now is Scheffler, Neiman, Xander, Oberg, and then Bryson or Rahm. I think if I was going to go that route, either one. You may have used one or both already, but if you have them, I wouldn't mind either one of them. But those six is probably where I'll be narrowing down. A lot of people have already used Scheffler. A lot of people already used Rory. Xander probably has been used some, but because of his slow start, I could see him being popular this week. Oberg, same way. You may use him early in the season, but may have held off. And then I think Neiman, Bryson, and Rahm, you probably can only use, I mean, you only could have used them two of those three. So either one of those could be a viable option as well for one and done this week. Huge week. Obviously, I think if you have Scheffler left, I probably go him. I think this is his best chance of what's left, but I don't think he's very – I don't think many people have him at all. the ones that did have him left, I think, used him at Memorial, which he got another win, so it paid off. But I'll have the final ones out with the final thoughts later this evening. I don't think the weather's going to be a huge deal factoring into, you know, me delaying content or anything like that. I'll take a look at it. Little Man does have a golf tournament late this afternoon. After that, I'll come back, take one last look, wrap it up, and have everything out early evening per usual. If you have any questions or anything, reach out to me. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great week. I should have this out at lunch today. Again, this is early Wednesday morning, so if anything breaks out later, I'll update it on all the final thoughts and rankings. Hope you guys have a great Wednesday. Look and have a good luck this week at the U.S. Open. Talk to you soon.